Hi, I'm Shannon Mullen, and this is the Inspiring Women series, a podcast dedicated to sharing the stories of the many women who've inspired me in my life or who've inspired the lives of others. This episode is my conversation with Sarah Davis, the Chief Administrative Officer for Loblaws Companies Limited. In this episode, Sarah talks about accepting herself as a mom and a business professional, being a woman in business, and learning not to worry about things she can't control.
So I was born in St. John, New Brunswick. I'm the youngest of four kids. I have two older sisters and an older brother. I moved to, well, briefly to Chicago when my father did his PhD there, and then to Montreal when I was about four, and then lived in Montreal till I was about eight, and then I've moved to the Toronto area. So most of my life has been in either the west end of Toronto, Mississauga, is where I went to high school. I went to Port Credit. Then I went to Queens to do my e-commerce honors degree. And then I became a CA at Ernst & Young and stayed there about a couple of years. And then I worked mostly in telecom. So I did a stint at Rogers. Then I went to Bell for 10 years. And then I came back to Rogers. And I worked always in finance, mostly operational finance. And then in 2007, I left Rogers to come to Loblaws, which is where I work now.
And can you describe what your role is?
Yeah, sure. So from 2010 to 2014, I was the CFO of Loblaws. And then in 2014, I became the CAO.
What is a day like for you? An average day like at work?
Even
an average day, including work and your personal life.
Okay. So yeah, I never mentioned. So I'm married. It's my second husband, and I have three daughters from my first marriage. And my husband has a son and two daughters from his first marriage.
That's a really big family.
Yeah, so his kids are older, so they don't live with us, and I only have one left at home. So I have I have three daughters. Two are in university, and I have one who's in grade 12. Mm-hmm. So, and then my husband also, two of his kids have two grandsons. So he's got four grandsons in total. So
really, yeah, lots of family.
Yeah. So a normal day for me, I work primarily in our Brampton office, which is the head office for Loblaws. But see, I don't have a lot of standard days because lots of days I travel around. So really, I would mostly spend my time at Brampton, probably 3 out of 5 days. I'm in Brampton, but I also go to our Shoppers office. I sometimes come downtown, like today. I sometimes go to we have a bank office, which is at 25 York. So depending on the day, I sort of move around. And I also travel a fair amount because I will go to see our distribution centers and different offices as well. But a typical day, if I had one, would be I'd go to the Brampton office. I'd probably get to work by around 8. I'd have meetings in my office with my team or with different members or with our management board. I'd have lunch, which is a really great lunch at our office. It's delicious. It's all fresh salads and things like that. So I'd have that. And in my day, I'd probably leave for home around 6. So I generally would be 8 to 6 would generally be my work day. And then I'd come home and we'd probably figure out what to do with dinner at that point. Mm-hmm. And I have a beer with my husband every day, pretty much.
Nice.
And then we would have dinner. And I tried really hard to, like, I read in a magazine that it's like important to have like kids who have families who have dinner together. They seem to do better in school and all these things. So I thought, okay, we're going to have dinner together. And so that became my sort of goal, that we were going to have dinner together as a family as much as we could. And even if it meant we ate later, you know, sometimes my kids, when they were really little, they'd have a nap before dinner so that we could all eat together. And then they would, you know, just so that we could have that family dinner together.
Yeah.
And I still think that that's important. So I picked that as something that mattered to me. You know, I pick, you know, sort of the weekends, things like that. So you do have to pick and decide, you know what, I'm going to try to make this work.
Are there many women in your kind of level of
role? Not really.
Yeah.
In our company, I would be the most senior woman, and I don't have a lot of peers. I have mostly men as peers.
And why do you think that is?
Why do I think that is? Well, I mean, I think some of the more traditionally female roles, like we don't now, but we did for a long time when I worked at Loblaws, the head of HR was a female.
Mm.
Right now it's under my responsibility, but the head of HR is actually a male. And finance, you can find more women. So when I was, it's not that unusual to be a woman as a CFO. I don't know what it is. I think sometimes it's hard to do everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
To have a big responsibility at home and then a big responsibility at work. I think maybe, I don't know. We have these discussions all the time because, you know, our business, like many, doesn't, it's not, we don't have that many women in senior roles. And it's kind of like, why do they choose not to do it? Or do we make it unwelcoming for them? Are they traditionally male leaders? And so they promote people who are like themselves. Do women, like, we always have these theories that women are more likely to be the ones who, if you're asked, are you ready for a promotion, they would be, they wouldn't put their hand up first. They would want to make sure that they're 100%. They're they'd want to be tapped. Like, they'd want someone to come say, I think you're going to be really great for this job. Whereas traditionally men are more ready to say, sure, I'll give it a try.
Were you like that?
No, I wasn't brave either. I waited to be tapped.
Okay.
Yeah. And I, for me, every opportunity that came to me was because somebody came and asked me, will you go and do this? So starting from like right in the, you know, low in my career, from when I was like a financial analyst and, you know, the CFO at the time came and said, oh, we're ready to make you the manager of this department. And so, yeah, I've never said, and I wouldn't say I was super career oriented. Like, I wasn't thinking, oh, I want to be a CFO. Yeah. I never had those thoughts. It just kind of happened to me. I mean, I would say,
that's not what I was expecting to hear.
Yeah. Lots of people think that you have mapped out this whole plan. Yeah. I didn't. I just like to do a good job. So I thrive on being able to do a good job. So honestly, I felt like when I did a good job, it got noticed. And then it was like, do you want to try something else? And then that got noticed. And so I think I was really, really open to ideas. Like, I would have done anything. They were like, oh, do you want to try this job? I was like, okay. And do you want to try this job? I was okay. And so I really did get lots. But the benefit that came from that was that I got tons of experience, and I got tons of people got to know me because I moved around a lot more than other people. So waiting without, and I never really asked exactly, well, what am I going to get if I go and do that? Like, it was none of that. I was just like, I like change. So I was happy to try something new. And so it became fun. And then people were just thought, oh, well, maybe she'll do it. She so seems just, open.
You always seem to be enjoying kind of the
what
you had at the moment.
That's right.
I wonder too, if that's how you were able to kind of manage being a mom if you didn't have this career trajectory set out, so you're kind of able to juggle more in the moment.
And I think the thing that, because I didn't have this whole plan that I have to do this job and then move to that job because that will give me the right experience for the next job or any of that, like, I never had that. I kind of just went from emotion. Like, I like my job, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. When somebody offered me something new, I was like, okay, I'd like to try that too. I like the change. And I think because I didn't have all these heavy expectations on myself, it made it easier as well. And so I didn't have to get the next promotion. I mean, I did when I split up with my first husband. I was very motivated in the sense that I had to do a good job because I needed a job because I was paying for my daughters. So I felt motivated by that. So it was probably a defining moment, I think, where you actually have to show, like, you kind of realize that. I think I was like, I don't know, 32 or something. And I had like these three little kids and I was like, and then I was split up and I was like, this was not what I planned. And then, but it was good. It was good. I fell madly in love with my current husband. So it's all good now.
And you don't feel that, do you feel that being a mom has held you back at all
from
achieving in your career? Because I think that it does seem to, I have some friends in business that there is that attitude. Like, are you going to be able to have kids? How are you?
I think that's true. I think it is, part of it is how you feel about it too, right? And how much you want to. Like, I certainly had lots of feelings of guilt when I thought that I wasn't the mother who was going on the field trip, or I wasn't the mother who was going to the school and volunteering. Like, that sometimes made me sad, right? That I couldn't be that mother. But I think you just have to decide what, you know, how you're going to be in and accept yourself. Like, you can't, otherwise you just feel guilty all the time. You feel guilty at work because you're not doing enough at work, and you feel guilty at home because you're not doing enough at home. And so I think you have to forgive yourself and just say, I'm going to do the best I can. And I like to think that my kids always felt that I loved them, and they knew it, and they're proud of me now. So they're all adults, so they get to tell me about, you know, that. And so I think they understood the choices that I made and why I did them. And so I think they sometimes would have, you know, little comments about it. I have one comment from my middle daughter who I'll never forget because it's such a funny comment. She is kind of funny. And she was pretty young. She might have been 10 or 12 or something. And I came in one day and I'd been working a lot, so I hadn't been home that much. And I came into the door and she looks at her sister and she's like, who's that woman and why is she insisting we call her mom, right? So like the knife in the back. So it's good to have kids because they sort of keep you grounded mm-hmm. and go, okay, yeah, you're right. I have been away from home a lot. I should spend some more time at home.
So you don't think that being a woman has prevented you from achieving in the business world at all?
I don't think being a woman held me back. Like in some ways, I think that it was helpful. Like certainly because you were just different, right? And certainly when I was at Bell, they were at during a time when they wanted to figure out this whole woman thing. And so they were willing to try different things. And they actually asked me what I wanted when I came back from one of my maternity leaves. And I said, I think I want to work part-time. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, okay. They didn't know how they were going to make it work. And it didn't really work. I really ended up negotiating a pay cut because I did the same job, but for less money. But they tried. Like, mm-hmm. I think they were open to, and every time I went on maternity leave, I had to have that conversation because mm-hmm. at the time you had 6 months off. Well, 6 months, it's kind of inconvenient for a business. Mm-hmm. So they have to figure out, what should we do? Mm-hmm. And it all kind of made them think about what job would be good for Sarah when she comes back. And so I always ended up being in a new job, sometimes a promotion. Mm-hmm. So it actually worked out well, whereas the poor guys who were just working away, they were just left to keep doing their job and nobody thought about their career because there was nothing to make anyone think about mm-hmm. it, whereas mine, they had to.
Do you think that, so those guys that were left behind kind of, I imagine that they probably had to work a bit harder when you were
Yeah, probably.
Did you feel any kind of animosity from them?
No, I don't think so. No. I mean, I think, I don't know, I was probably too busy to think about it. I don't remember. I never sensed it. No,
I didn't. Let it affect your
No,
career.
And Bell was such a big place that it wasn't like, you know, it could be different if you were in a small office and everybody had to pick up the slack. Mm-hmm. For me, it was such a big place that I knew, like, they're not really, it wasn't going to have a big impact on each person's workload because it was mm-hmm. sort of spread out.
Okay, so I'll just start asking some of the deeper questions that I ask. I've been just asking everyone kind of similar questions. So to start, what are you most proud of? What do you say?
I'm most proud of. Well, I have to say my daughters. I'm pretty proud of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that they've turned into really great people. And I mean, they're just at the beginning of their, you know, adult lives, but I kind of like the people that they've become. I think they're really kind and nice people, and I think they turned out well. So I'm proud of, I think I would pick that as being mm-hmm. my most proud thing. Mm-hmm.
And then I guess this is maybe something that you could touch on because you went through a divorce and remarried, but what have you learned about love in your life?
Love is an interesting thing. So one, I think it's really, really important to find love, like whether in any relationship, so whether it's husband, wife, you know, partner of any kind, or even with your own children, how much mm-hmm. you love. So there are different kinds of love, because I think the love for your children is a different than your love for your husband. I think that love makes you a better person. Like, I think being my husband makes me better than I would be on my own. Mm-hmm. He makes me more confident. He's like my number one fan, you know, and I would say I like to think I do the same for him, right? Mm-hmm. That I bring out different qualities in him. I make him a better person mm-hmm. and he knows. So I do think that's kind of like that whole thing that each of you on your own aren't as strong as the two of you together. Mm-hmm. And so I really believe in that.
For you, what would you say is the greatest lesson that you've learned in your life?
Greatest lesson.
Like, it could be career-wise or it could be in your personal life.
I think probably a couple of things. So one, I think from a career perspective, you just have to recognize your career is really long. So don't worry if you don't achieve everything all at once. Mm-hmm. Like, I always feel that people always want to get to the next step and the next step, and they worry about that a lot. And you think, your career is super long. Mm-hmm. You can have a couple different changes, and so you don't have to worry about that. And then I would say that you need to, for both personally and professionally, you have to figure out how to accept yourself and forgive yourself. So you're never going to be perfect, but you need to, and then you are always, if you're always judging yourself and judging yourself against other people's standards, so if you're judging yourself against, you know, mothers who don't work, and then you're feeling guilty about the things that you should be doing with your kids, or you're judging yourself against men at work who don't have the same commitments as you, mm-hmm. I think you just have to figure out, like, what is your, like, what's good for you and what works for you, and just try to stop all the noise. Mm. And then actually I have a better one. My best lesson is probably what my husband taught me, which is very freeing, and it's actually deep when you think about it, which is don't worry about the things you can't control.
Hmm.
Okay? And it sounds really sort of lame in a way, but when you actually think about the number of things in your life that you worry about that really doesn't matter what you were, how much you worry or how much, it's going to be what it's going to be.
Hmm.
And you, especially at work, because there's so many decisions that aren't yours to be made. And so if you worry about every decision that everybody else around you is going to, it's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I trained myself, because I think I did worry about everything before. And then I trained myself to say, oh, why am I worrying about that? I can't control that anyway. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. But how did you make that shift?
Because I would start talking about things and he would say, why are you worrying about that?
So you're probably like, your husband helped you think about
it. And he was the one who said, I don't think you should worry about things you can't control.
Yeah.
So it really was something as specific as that. And then I started to think about it, and then it became deeper because I actually started to analyze all the things I worried about.
Huh.
And then I was like, why do I worry all about all these things? And then when you only worry about the things that you actually have control over, it's actually not that many. And then it's way more manageable and you don't have to be all stressed about who said what and all this other stuff. And you're like, oh, none of that. I can't control it.
That was my conversation with Sarah Davis, a mother of three daughters who currently serves as Chief Administrative Officer for Loblaws Companies Limited. It was the 9th episode of the Inspiring Women series, which you can subscribe to in the iTunes store. I'm Shannon Mullen. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow my adventures and writing at shannonmullen.me.